From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his final message in this series on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. In the previous message, he began to deal with verses 31 through 39 under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He reminded us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declared, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In verse 31, Paul asks a question, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In answer, Dr. Cairns presented 5 certainties of sovereign grace, which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths that God is for us. He has delivered up His Son for us. He has justified us in Christ. Christ has performed a complete work for us, and because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. Today, Dr. Cairns begins to look at 5 consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace. Before he introduces the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called God Delights to Give. The text is found in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." A special blessing for a memorable occasion. Abram had settled a family dispute. He had said, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee and me, for we be brethren." And hence he received the blessing which belongs to peacemakers. The Lord and giver of peace delights to manifest His grace to those who seek peace and pursue it. If we desire closer communion with God, we must keep closer to the ways of peace. Abram had behaved very generously to his kinsman, giving him his choice of the land. If we deny ourselves for peace's sake, the Lord will more than make it up to us. As far as the patriarch can see, he can claim, and we can do the like by faith. Abraham had to wait for the actual possession, but the Lord entailed the land upon him and his posterity. Boundless blessings belong to us by covenant gift. All things are ours. When we please the Lord, He makes us to look everywhere and see all things our own, whether things present or things to come. All are ours, and we are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book? If so, we're happy to offer you the opportunity to obtain a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has recently obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're now making them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
Turning again this evening to Romans chapter 8 to read together the final section of the chapter, verse 31 to verse 39. The last verses of Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Sabbath evening, as we turned to these verses, we considered five certainties of sovereign grace. This section commences with a question and continues with a series of further questions. This is in response to what Paul has already been laying down in the prior verses. The controlling text of Romans chapter 8, of which everything else is really an exposition, is the statement in verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The apostle has, through this chapter, worked that theme out, expounded it, and applied it. He has reached to the heights of divine inspiration, because some of the things that Paul here describes are indeed the very pinnacle of the glorious revelation of God in Christ. We should never get so used to the words that we skip over them, we read them, and they make little impression on us. When we read such things as, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Adoption. You are now adopted into the family of God. You have the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption, dwelling within you. You are named by the name of Almighty God. You have all the rights and all the privileges of the sons of God. And you can come to him and cry, Abba, Father. In Scripture, that is how the Lord Jesus prayed. In the darkest woe and agony of his suffering, he cried, Abba, Father. We have access to God as the sons of God in union with the Son of God through his merit. And we can also cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit, Paul tells us. We are the children of God. For any man to take that title, for any group to assume it to themselves, would be folly and arrogance of the worst kind. Furthermore, it would be most probably a shot in the dark, a mere expression of hope never to be fulfilled. But the Spirit of God comes to the believer in Christ, and He bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Then Paul goes on to this statement that beggars human imagination, the human power to conceive it, never mind to expound it. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. What does that mean? I have tried to expound it. The more I would try, the more I realize how much I feel. I have read others seeking to expound it. I've been moved and blessed by their exposition, and yet at the end of the day, I realize they have failed. Heirs of God. There's not a man in the world, there's not a mind in the world that can possibly wrap itself around all that is involved in that glorious statement. And as if that were not sufficient, Paul goes on to say we are joint heirs, equal heirs with Christ. Equal heirs with Christ. He goes on to tell us something of what that is going to lead to. He speaks of a day that we are earnestly expecting. And he says there's going to be the manifestation, the full revelation of the sons of God. That will be a glorious day when the very body enters into the fullness of Christ's redemption, and this vile body will be changed to be made like unto His glorious body. The redemption of the body, so that with a perfect body in a perfect and a perfect soul, in perfect union with a perfect Christ, we will enjoy perfect glory for all eternity. There you've got the full circle of human destiny. When God created man, to use the description of the late Cornelius Van Til, He created a perfect soul in a perfect body and placed it in a perfect environment in fellowship with God. Sin wrecked all that. Now, as the result of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, in that day of the manifestation of the sons of God, once again we have perfect souls, in perfect bodies, in a perfect environment, in perfect fellowship with the living Christ. This is the destiny of the people of God. In the light of all that, Paul says, we know something. We know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God has started this whole movement to bring us to glory. We know that He has sent Christ. We know that Christ has lived. We know that Christ has died. We know that Christ has risen. We know that He's ascended back to glory, the forerunner of His people. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We know that we are the sons of God, adopted to be made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We know that, and therefore we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God. And we know it because of of the eternal purpose of God. This is why it bothers me that so many Christians want to turn the sovereign electing purpose of God into a theological football, something to be kicked all over the place and to be made simply a matter of stupid, bitter, mindless controversy. And that's true on both sides of the aisle, by the way. There are people who are so bitter that they miss the entire joy of God's eternal purpose. How do we know that all things are working together for good? Because we're called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Sealed, signed, and delivered. The security of the saints of God. Now Paul says, what shall we say to these things? You can't just say these things and shrug your shoulders and go on as if you said it's sunny or it's wet. You can't just say these things, shrug your shoulders, so what? If these things are true, these are the most earth-shattering statements and truths that we can consider. These are the most life-transforming truths that we can consider. So, what shall we say to these things? I think far too many of God's people even are saying very little. I was talking this morning about meditating. Talking to ourselves about the great things of God. Reflecting and ruminating upon divine truth. This is what Paul is calling us to do here. Think of these things. Consider these things. Ponder these things deeply. And let your whole life be a response to this sovereign grace of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.